Welcome to America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation and beyond. The buzz in the backyard continues to be over Obamacare. I mean, you know, we could talk about spying in the NSA, but you're sitting next to me somewhere, and we start a little chit-chat. I bet you dollars to donuts the conversation turns toward health care and who screwed up and what did they know, and geez, I just got a cancellation notice if you fall into that category, or how messed up the healthcare.gov website happens to be. Because you've tried to sign up, and it's crashed, you can't get on, and it's just a nightmare. But you don't want to get a fine, and you don't want to spend hour after hour trying to figure out what it is that you need to do that you can afford. And this is kind of where people are. They're tangled up in the middle of it. They're in the eye of the healthcare hurricane where you were foisted up into the funnel, whether you wanted to be there or not. It's already convoluted enough as people try to navigate their health. You know, it's my grandmother, my great-grandmother used to say to me when I was a healthy young kid all the time, I used to ask her this question, what's the most important thing, you know, besides family? And she would say, your health. And I used to think, well, that's ridiculous. What is she talking about? And you realize that as you age, and not even to be that old, you realize that once everything's great when you have that card you're carrying around in your pocket until something happens to you. And then you're freaked out about whatever it is, even if it could be an innocuous thing, but you got some weird pain, they think you have something or whatever it might be. And then you try to navigate the system and it's frightening and it's going to get worse for a lot of people, especially if what we think is going to happen happens. Because we've had a lot of these doctors on the show who say they're bailing on their general practice. So, and then this whole thing of what network you're in, you get back to that again. And I still stand by this, not going to medical school, but knowing enough people in the profession. You know, it is a guessing game that doctors play with tests and figuring out things and asking questions. But the more they know you, the more they treat you when you go to the same practitioner, the more they know your background, know your history, pay attention to red flags, all that stuff. And that can make a very, very big difference on the health care you receive and also in spotting things that might not be right and catching them before a situation becomes worse. And if you're just rotating around with different doctors, I think it's much, 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 much more difficult to do that. All right, here's a shocker. You know, Forbes does their little power ranking thing, and you could say, ah, who cares? Who cares what Forbes says or some magazine as they're ranking world leaders? But there is a method to this madness. Vladimir Putin now has jumped ahead of Barack Obama as far as world's most powerful leader. For the first time in 3 years, the U.S. president has dropped to second on the magazine list. And we know what the deal is with the U.S.-Russian relations. So Putin is on top of our president in this mag that ranks the biggest power brokers. And, of course, in August, Russia granted asylum to the NSA contractor Ed Snowden, who the U.S. desperately wanted to get their hands on. And then Putin avoided the threat of a missile strike on Syria with his own plan, Putin's plan for Damascus to hand over a chemical weapon. So there are a couple of things that have happened, I guess, that warranted it from that point of view. Now, what's interesting is this magazine stuff comes out, is the fact that with the Obamacare debacles, this is like the last straw for a lot of people, even lifelong Democrats who can't help but say, listen, I can't defend this. It's not good. It's a nightmare. The rollout shouldn't have been this way. And there's confusion over plans and all of that. So the president has also toppled when it comes to approval ratings. His approval ratings are way, way down. According to an NBC Wall Street Journal poll, the Obama approval ratings are this. Only 42% of Americans approve of his job performance. And for the first time in the poll's history, the president's personal approval ratings were lower than his disapproval ratings, with just 41% approving of him on a personal level. So how about that? That kind of coincides with the crashing of several different things. So the president finally comes out and says, you know, he's not happy with the problems. He's not happy with the enrollment problems. But he thinks this is the right track. They're doing the right thing in rolling it out. That he takes full responsibility for resolving the computer problems that clearly have been plaguing this system. And he says the benefits are unbelievable for this. Unbelievable. He says, if you're getting one of the letters, shop around in the new marketplaces. Shop around in the new marketplaces. And because of government subsidies, most people who get new policies, he say, will pay less than what they are now. So far, I've only really met people who are paying more, way more. So that statement isn't holding up now at this point. So for every state, for every person who's insured, there is a different scenario. And that's why one healthcare in the first place, you know, doesn't fit all sizes. It would have been much better to have the people have a say in this, have a ballot issue, start that way across the board in every single state. But the fear, I think, was it wouldn't get passed. It wouldn't happen because too many people would vote it down. And the idea was we have to get this passed. We have to get this passed. All right, if you have some thoughts on what's happening in D.C. and the rippling effects in your backyard, please lay it on us at 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. We come back. We head to the mailbag. A lot of people talking about a lot of different things, too, not all about the Obamacare website. Like I say, if you can't hit us up on the phone line, the best way to do it, just shoot us an email. Meet you in a few. I'm climbing over the wall. Meet me on the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Will you, on the record right now, authorize them to give us those numbers and let us determine whether those are reliable?
No, sir. I want to give you reliable, confirmed data from every state and from the federal marketplace. We have said that we will do that on a monthly basis by the middle of the month. You will have that data, but I don't want to turn over anything that is not confirmed and reliable, and that's what we'll do.
Well, but that data out there exists. And
sir, I would tell you right now, it is not reliable data, according to the insurance companies who are eager to have customers.
Kathleen Sebelius grilled on the Hill, deflecting all that criticism about the Obamacare, you know, health plan and all the cancellation notices and the cost and everything else in between. That was just a little glimpse of what went on. And now she's moves on to another hearing after this next week. And I think it'll get even more heated. It's about the whole accountability thing at this point. Accountability, accountability. We just never get the answers we're looking for in that department, do we? So she'll testify before the Senate Finance Committee on the rollout of Obamacare. That'll happen November 6th. November 6th. And I think the thing that she was asked constantly is the president keeping his promise. And she just kept deflecting it. Yes, yes, he's deflecting it. She vowed to fix the problems of healthcare.gov, and you know the news just keeps getting worse and worse each and every day. Each and every day that goes by, some new twist happens, whether the site is up or not, but the site has been actually down a bunch. So without further ado, many of you had thoughts on it. You can throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283, but we're going to head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. This one from Sam I Am. Kate, long time no talk, miss ya. Gotta say, Sebelius, what a bunch of nonsense that is. What is she gonna do? She's gonna deflect whatever criticism at all of healthcare.gov that she possibly can, then apologize, but it seems almost awkward when anybody in this administration apologizes. It's very, very forced to me. I feel sorry for the people who are caught with lousy plans and having to pay more for that health care coverage. Hopefully they do what one of your callers said the other night, and if they can use that as much of a write-off for their taxes as possible because of the percentage that healthcare is eating out of their budget. Eating out of their budget. For me, I have good healthcare coverage through my company, so I'm kind of in a different scenario, at least for now, though I believe that we'll all end up in a single-payer situation eventually. Yeah, that's a big question. A lot of people think that this is just the first step, and then eventually they'll transition all the way into single-payer, and there'll be so many problems with this. People losing their health care plans, confused, upset, you know, all that sort of stuff. And eventually it rolls out into one big single-payer system. And I fear that day, because then I think a lot of people are going to have more than complaints. Let's put it that way. More than complaints. All right, let's go to another one. This one from Sandy listening to us outside of Massachusetts, and that's what it says. Woohoo to the Red Sox. How about that final win? I know you like sports. You were probably watching the game. It was brilliant to see the Red Sox take it in front of their home crowd the way that they did. So I say, go Red Sox, go. A lot of people in Red Sox Nation, even people that aren't from Massachusetts or the Northeast, kind of like the Dallas Cowboys in football, or probably the better comparison is the Yankees. For the longest time, it didn't matter where you went. You would see a Yankee cap everywhere on the streets, driving down the streets, in a restaurant. I mean, there's, you know, always people are just soaking it in. So the Red Sox are champions again. Again. Very, 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 very big, especially with how competitive how competitive St. Louis is. Los Angeles was competitive to the Dodgers, but the Cardinals really earned their right to be there, and they played great baseball, but they couldn't pull it out at the end. Couldn't pull it out at the end. All right, let's go to another one. This one from Fix It or Else. What a nickname. Fix It or Else. Fix It or Else says, Kate, I don't know if you saw the Obama's approval ratings. You often talk about polls, and you're right. If polls were so inaccurate, they wouldn't pay attention to the polls when they go in their favor, and obviously it's not going in the president's favor. I think people just want the truth right from the get-go, and it's very hard to come back around again. And too many people in the administration aren't taking accountability. And whether Obama's a nice guy or not, under the layers upon layers of people on top of that, it makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense. Yeah, I'm kind of confused by the end of that, but I think I know where you're going with it. The health care law is going to really stun a lot of people, I think. Unless you have a ton of money, but you're not even in that situation if you have a ton of money. And I think this is the problem. The very small gap between the middle class and the poor has changed. Has changed big time. Here's one from Jimmy. Jimmy says, hello, America Tonight and Kate Delaney. The nonsense in Washington, man, I'm glad you mixed it up sometimes. Because I got to say, I can't tune into a radio station, even when I love, to hear constantly the same thing droning on and on and on. We all have short attention spans, so I would say use them. Yeah, luckily we're on the same page with that. We're already practicing that, and the key is to keep doing it. Yeah, that's the key is to keep doing it. This one from Cindy, who listens to us in Florida, and she says, I don't know if you noticed it or not, Kate, but Tim McCarver is done for baseball. Wow. Done for baseball. What a surprise as I got to watch this World Series. I really kind of embraced his commentary. I wish him well in his retirement. I bet you they're going to have a hard time replacing him. because wasn't he there in the mid-90s moving forward? He was there in the mid-90s moving forward, and he will be tough to replace because you don't want to get somebody exactly like him. You need someone with a powerful home run call, I would say, probably. But, boy, when you're on the other end of that, and he's the other end of that is Buck, it's tough when you lose a partner that you're used to working with and you work with for so long. But Tim McCarver said at 72, he feels vibrant and curious and all that kind of stuff, so he doesn't want to, he just doesn't want to do it anymore. He wants to be at least semi-retired. So that's what I'm sure he will, that's what he'll do. He'll fish and hang out and whatever. I think he is a decent announcer because of the things that were said there. He will fill in the blanks. In other words, some stats, some play you don't understand. I mean, he just does it. He knows where to fill in those gaps. And it's terrific because if you watch enough of his games that he was calling, you really got a sense of what was happening in baseball. So Joe Buck is 44. Tim McCarver is much older than that, 28 years, I want to say, for Tim McCarver, 28 years older than Joe. Makes sense. Go off into the sunset. Hopefully he'll be around to call some games in the not-too-distant future. Maybe he gets bored with the whole retirement thing. I'm not sure, but, boy, wouldn't that be good. All right, once again, remember, you can always send us your thoughts about America Tonight by sending them to americatonight.net. Once you get there, don't panic. You look for the connection page. There'll be a drop-down menu. What a novel concept. They could have had this at healthcare.gov, and you see what is needed, basically, there. What is needed? So stay with us. Thanks to Nathan for his help on the technicals and all of you who called America Tonight. We're kicking the can to the other side.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPAC 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Everybody knows what a big fan I am of Halloween, and here we are once again, my favorite time of the year. I'm not even going to tell you what my costume is at this point. So happy to welcome back to the show. He's in our virtual scary green room, Jack Heath. He's got another book out, Chain of Souls. Do you love that name, Chain of Souls? He's going to tell us all about it. Remember we talked before about witches, his family history. It was really, really good stuff. So, Jack, always fun to have you on the show. Don't be a stranger. We're happy to have you back again. How you been?
Hey, good, thanks, and I hope you've been well.
I have been well. And is it true, you sent me a note about this, that the film rights for your book has been bought and they're starting to work on a movie on the first book? Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and trying to get my arms or my mind around it. But, yeah, Michael DeRocher of Wonderland Pictures, he was working on the film in Boston when the sad Boston Marathon bombing happened. They were doing a movie up there with Bradley Cooper and Christian Bale on the banking scandals of the, 20, 30 years ago, and they had to move, and they moved to Salem, Mass, of all places, to finish the filming. And somehow one of his location guys' mother had read my first book, Salem 6, Rebecca's Rising, and told him about it, and he read it and called me down to the set, and I talked to him, and he made an offer to the publisher to buy the film rights, so he's begun pre-production work on a movie for the book.
I love it. That is very, very, very exciting. Got to keep us abreast of what happens there. So now you go into the second one, Chain of Souls. And first of all, what was it? We talked about this before, that you said there you had a lot in you, that you were, there was more writing that was going to come. How long did it take you to put together Chain of Souls?
Chain of Souls came together. I was able to write it faster. The first book, Kate, when I was out with you, I was kind of my upbringing, a lot of years of being, knowing I was a descendant of both sides of the Salem witch trials. So a lot of my adult life thinking about it, and I just wrote it without an outline, without much overview, because I had no publishing deal. And my sister read it, she's the poet laureate of South Carolina, and a novelist, or a writer, and she sent it off to some people in New York. So the first one got published in a sort of a backwards way. The second one, they put me under the old outline discipline, so I was able to write the second one in about 3.5 months.
Wow, 3.5 months. So give us an overview of what we can expect with Chain of Souls.
Well, John Andrews is a central character, in the first book, he finds out that he's caught between the bloodlines of the Salem witch trials from 321, you know, more than three centuries ago in modern day Salem. So he's trying to figure out what's going on, and his wife in the first book is killed in a car accident doing an errand for him by a Putnam, which was one of his relatives in the book, as the accuser of the witch trials, and he doesn't really know what he's in the middle of. So the first book is the premise that the witch trials are not what we think they are, and there's a secret satanic coven at work in Salem, kind of after his good spirit from Rebecca Nurse, his ancestor, who was the last woman hanged as a Salem witch in 1692. The second book, Chain of Souls, continues. He kind of survives. He still doesn't know what's happening. His life's been turned upside down. John Andrews and his daughter is kidnapped early on in the book by the group, trying to convert her to the dark side. So it's a battle with more of him, you know, good versus evil, trying to unravel what happened more than three centuries ago in Salem with the witch trials, and Rebecca Nurse kind of rising within him to liberate his daughter and kind of expose the whole thing. So it's a continuation of the same battle in the first book.
What do you think it is about, and we talked about this before, I think witches are making a comeback. You know, zombies are big, and if you watch television at all, or just you're watching sports, you look at all the promos, Grimm, Once Upon a Time, Dracula, we are into horror, and I think witches are really making a big comeback. Does it feel that way to you, that people are fascinated again? Not that they ever lost that, but I think there is now more of a fascination. It's come back around with the witches and the history and the Salem witch trials and all that. Do you think so?
Well, I don't know if I think so, but the analysts in the entertainment industry apparently think so. It could be just be a big way to escape what's happening in Washington, D.C. But anyway, you know, it's kind of funny because I had no idea 3 or so years ago when I wrote the first book that the witch thing and the paranormal and the medium and the psychics would be kind of hot. And when I first met with Michael DeRocher and I'm kind of thanking him and getting to know him for buying the film rights, he says to me in a nice way, you know, it's not that he likes me that much of the book. He loves the book, but he said, Jack, my agent and our lawyers research this stuff for the next several years. And the next big thing in Hollywood are witches. So your book and the timing of it, he goes, so I guess I had no idea. I mean, you know, this timing in life, you don't know what you're doing at the time. But apparently the whole zombie, Walking Dead, werewolf, all this other stuff is witches and mediums and psychics are kind of the hot thing. And that's sort of what Salem, Massachusetts is all about.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, when you go into this whole publishing thing and publishers have the movie rights and sometimes you get the merchandising rights, did you keep the merchandising rights so you can design some little witches or whatnot?
Well, I was going to talk to Kate Delaney's agent and ask the agent if we could do that, but I'm not sure. I know that he bought the film, video, play, theater, all that stuff, the publisher.
Yeah.
It was really between them. And the beautiful thing, and Kate, you've been an author, and I read your book on sports and all that. The neat thing about this is it puts a lot of good exposure on the books. The books have done well, the first two. They've done well on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But when you make a movie on a book, and they're looking at some pretty high-level actors to be in the book, I mean the movie, mm-hmm. It's a blessing to, you know, kind of get the book out to a bigger audience. So, you know, the other stuff, I'm really more focused on trying to creatively not get in the way of the movie getting made, and then hopefully it puts a good spotlight on the books.
Do you in your mind have a fantasy of who would play some of the characters?
I do, and I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble tonight because you're on a lot of stations, but let's just say a little scoop. I'd say that I would be delighted, even though he's a St. Louis Cardinal fan from St. Louis, I think John Hamm would be a marvelous John Andrews. For Mad Men. And, mm-hmm. and by the way, the Red Sox are doing okay tonight. So I think he would be great. But, you know, the nice thing about the movie process, which I'm not directly involved in, is, you know, we have Superman and Batman and Iron Man and all these, like, computer animated superhero type movies. But this could be, and Michael DeRocher thinks this might be a movie that is kind of Rosemary's Baby meets National Treasure, where it's a New England based and shot movie with real writing and real acting. And it might be kind of nice because it may be one of those movies that gets into the fray with good old New England drama. I don't know who will end up playing what part. That's not my area, but I'm just excited that they're underway and he's already raised a chunk of his money to make the movie and he's been involved in Hollywood for a lot of years and he loves it. So we'll see. You know, so it's a process, Kate, as you know.
Yeah. What happens to the talk show when you become uber famous and, you know, like you're the counterpart for the woman who's 50 Shades of Gray?
No, you know, that's all scary talk. And if I can just like still be on Kate Delaney's show, America Tonight, and have you on my show, I'll be a happy guy.
Always.
It's funny. Michael's a great guy and I've met some people in the process and you reach a point where you realize a lot of this is out of your control. You got to do the work, you know, be there. But I'm not looking to buy a boat or a bigger house. I've met a lot of authors who are just struggling to get their books out. I'd love to be a help to some people and kind of be a catalyst to get them out there, do some good. I don't want for anything. I'm blessed beyond my worthiness, and this would be a fun process, and it'd be nice to respect the history of Salem and Rebecca Nurse and do some good and maybe put a memorial up in Salem in her name. And, you know, it's just at the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, you got a few friends and family, and if you do, you're fortunate.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Hey, somebody who likes to write, and I'm right there with you. I get it. I got all kinds of projects going on. And it's so exciting. It's fun. It's just it's a passion about writing. Do you have a favorite book? The best book you ever read? Because I guarantee you're a voracious reader. Guarantee it.
You know what's funny, Kate? First of all, the answer to your question would be F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby. I read it young. I read it old. I just like it. I like Robert Ludlum, a lot of his books, before they were kind of movies. I'm a paranormal suspense, more crime guy. I like a lot of police type stories.
Mm-hmm.
My books are somewhat that because of my reporting years in the news business, but I'm not as much of a reader as I really like to write. I don't know what it is. Everyone thinks the hard part of a book is writing. To me, writing is not the hard part. Writing is the fun part where you can escape and you can go for hours in your basement or your den or your laptop or your, you know, wherever you are. You could be in a Starbucks writing. And I'm not a Starbucks fan, by the way. But the marketing and getting the book out there, that's the hard part. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's the hard part. I think there's a lot of great writers out there, much better than me. I'm a storyteller. I mean, I came up with the whole film. It's my wife in the other room clapping because the Red Sox must be doing well. I grew up, near in and around Salem. I knew my history with the witch trials. I just came up with an idea. I like telling stories and writing to that. So to me, writing is a lot more fun than I should probably read more, but I like to write.
That's a great answer. All right, so if somebody wants to pick up the books, I mean, Amazon.com, right?
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, New England. There's a lot of stores in New England, Barnes & Noble, physical stores, independent bookstores. Amazon's doing a special through tomorrow night at midnight with Goodreads on both books, Salem 6, Rebecca's Rising, and Chain of Souls, and anything that Kate Delaney's ever written or will write is part of that.
Perfect. I love it. So fun to have you on. Jack Heath, continued success. A lot of fun. We'll talk to you again soon.
You're the best, Kate. Happy Halloween.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
Not all protein powders are created equal. One World Whey is the first cold temperature processed, 100% all natural, unrefined, bioactive, grass pasture raised milk whey protein. Far from being another ordinary protein supplement, One World Whey is a full spectrum nutrition power food in and of itself, providing overall life building benefits that touch virtually every human's life that other protein supplements don't deliver on. What are the benefits? Boosts the immune system, anti-aging properties, helps detoxification, helps lose body fat, supports excellent blood sugar levels, excellent for building muscle, increases in energy levels, enhances the feelings of youth, energy for exercise and recovery. Who's it for? Anyone wanting to feel healthy and have energy. Busy people, office workers, growing children, students, teachers, seniors, people recovering from illness, and high-performance athletes. Call 888-988-3325. or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Available only at HempUSA.org. It's the first aid stick, and it's a must-have in any medical kit. With fast, chemical-free healing, the first aid stick stops bleeding, kills bacteria, is great for acne, insect bites, minor cuts and abrasions, will last for years, and is just $11.95. Everyone needs the first aid stick in their emergency kit. Call 888-910-4367. 888-910-4367. The first aid stick, only at HempUSA.org. That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Trauma Max. A high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com will stop it and most pistol rounds. Trauma Max is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come on, come down. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come on, mama.
All right, we're going through the turnstile. Hitting the exit for this hour anyway of America Tonight. You know, there is one person who really feels like the Obamacare plan can absolutely succeed in America across the board, and it is the governor of Massachusetts. He believes. Take a listen.
Healthcare reform is working for the people of Massachusetts, and it will work for the people of America.
Except for the people who have to pay that much more for their premiums. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us here in our little treehouse called America Tonight. The view is pretty interesting, I have to say. A couple of quick things. Hats off once again to Boston. They win the World Series 6-1, clobbered St. Louis in that sixth game. First time since 1918 that they were able to win in front of the home crowd. They've won a couple of series, but they've been on the road when they've won, so that's pretty exciting for those folks. Don't forget, coming up in our next Hour in America Tonight, the last two segments, nail the score, nail the score, nail the score. You could win some fabulous prizes. All you have to do is guess which team wins and what the final score is. We've had two winners here on the GCN network since we've done it. Dave in Vermont and Chris in Connecticut. Maybe you're going to be the next winner. How about somebody in Missouri, somebody in Florida, or any of the other great places where we are on? Perhaps Ottumwa, Iowa. Who knows? You could be next. That's the key thing. As we move along, and it's interesting, as I said, the view from the fort is pretty interesting here, and I have to say, besides the rippling effects of what's going on in Boston, there are a few other things that have happened that I think are going to spread across the land, and one of them is the electronic cigarettes. And we've looked at this from different angles. We've had people on the show to talk about it. We had a successful entrepreneur who was a smoker and went to electronic cigarettes and then opened a business, and it's just exploded. And a lot of people are doing it. I just saw Jenny McCarthy on a national television ad talking about the e-cigarette thing. And what's probably going to happen, I don't know, you know how New York, they regulate. So they've jumped on these new smoking rules, and they've raised the minimum age to buy cigarettes, regular cigarettes, to 21. And New York becomes the first city to change the smoking age from 18 to 21. And some people think that this is going to spread. Do you think this is going to spread? Do you think that there are other states that are going to take this up, pass an ordinance, and move it to 21 from 18? Now, so the e-cigarette thing is this. There aren't those regulations. There aren't any kind of regulations or getting the big taxes off of it. And that's probably the next thing that happens because of how popular it is and, you know, just how the explosion of it. So anything that explodes and looks good, it's time to get in there and make some regulations and get some money. That's what I think. You know, when I look across the board, if you go back and you look at laws in the last 10 years, federal laws, and then even some state laws, and it's interesting to follow the trends. So by moving the legislation raising the smoking age for tobacco products would include cigars and flavored cigarettes. So it would raise the minimum age for buying electronic cigarettes that has the dose of nicotine with vapor instead of smoke. Would do the same thing there. Now, of course, the ban is opposed by retail groups, including there's a group out of New York called Save Our Stores Coalition, because they say it's going to kill small businesses and bodegas, because that's what's happened. They've creeped up, and it's been a great entrepreneurial boom across the country, not just in New York, but in other places. And they say they're going to really, really push and try to combat tougher penalties even for black market cigarette sales. When I worked in New York, I worked at The Fan. It was an all-sports radio station, actually the biggest in the country. And it's interesting because the guys in the newsroom used to always ask everybody. They'd talk to people who smoked, and they said they would go to Mohegan Sun, the Indian casino, and they would get cigarettes because they were so much cheaper than the taxes you had to pay in New York. So imagine if all these things pass, and how would that affect some of those businesses there? And like I said, you can only see it probably spreading to some other states as well, because once it gets talked about, push, and it comes out of New York, a lot of times that goes down the trail and hits and affects other states eventually. In this hour of America Tonight, I mentioned the fact that the approval ratings for the president were incredibly sobering. If you were working in this White House, everything hums along on the polls. It does. They hang their hats on what the numbers are. So they weren't happy with this 45% disapproval rating. 42% of Americans approve of the president's job performance. So for the first time in the poll's history, his personal approval ratings were lower than his disapproval ratings. How about that? And I know that this is what's crested after the rough summer with what was happening with the IRS and the pounding of Benghazi and a couple of other huge things, including the IRS deal, Lois Lerner eventually stepping away, but still unanswered questions. And then this whole thing ultimately accumulating, building up to affordable care. And then people realizing the reality is that they're not going to get, a lot of people aren't going to get the health care that they had before that they were happy with. And they're going to pay more because they're caught in between. They're the true middle class, especially if they're a small business owner and they have their own individual health insurance. That's where you can really, really, really get pinched. And you combat that, you know, you mix that in the pot with what's happening with the pensions. Is, you know, forget pensions for anybody now, my generation and on behind me, but pensions for people in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, I mean, that was a layup. It was a way they could retire, and of course they weren't living quite as long, but now these pensions are getting picked apart in cities across America, and they're blaming that for bankrupting cities. Springfield, Illinois, we have a lot of listeners there. They say the city's annual payments to the state public employee retirement system has tripled to $19.8 million, and that's 25% of its operating budget. 25%. And we know, of course, where Illinois as overall is. $100 billion in unfunded pension debt. The state capitol says this is the worst fiscal crisis, period, and it's going to be the worst in the nation. So the governor, Pat Quinn, says something has to happen here. It's happening in California. It's happening in Illinois. And the pension spending with the 200 largest cities went up 10% of their general budgets in 2012, and it keeps climbing because of the retirement age. So do eventually we look forward to cities turning into Detroit because of some of the labor unions and some of the benefits for the government workers? So taxpayers on the other end of it are really, really, really looking down the barrel of a long shot in trying to dig this out, without a doubt. And somebody told me today there's just under 50 unions in Detroit. You go to Detroit, boy, oh boy, it's a sad thing to see. Lots of boarded up homes. Nobody really in proper Detroit wanting to live there anymore. What a different place it is from two decades ago. Hey, thanks for listening to this Hour of America Tonight.
And the winner of fallback pricing is you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com, that's freezedryguy.com, to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss!